so fast. Do keep your songbooks on hand. That song that we were just led in the garden, will actually form the basis for our little talk and discussion here this evening. This happens to be a song that was sung quite frequently over at Peters Creek in Austin, Kentucky, where I labored for 9 years. Just about every singing service, I can nearly recall that this song was picked out as one to do. Now, we sing it frequently here, perhaps, but not on that scale, I'm sure. It is a very well-known song. I come to the garden alone. But originally when this was put together, it was simply in the garden. In the garden, as it happens to be here with this particular publication for a songbook. In the garden. The first line goes, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And as we think about that phrase there, that expression, it might be easy for us to picture in our mind's eye our own garden, if you happen to have a garden, and quiet time that might be spent there, meditating upon God. But as it turns out, the author of this song was not talking about just a general garden, like you might have there at your house. Nor was he talking about the Garden of Gethsemane, in which our Lord was betrayed. But he was talking about the garden that was there by the tomb, in which our Lord was laid and in which he was raised. It was that garden there. Now, I'm going to go ahead and explain all of that there in a moment, but let me first share some biographical information with you about the author of this song, this number here. This was written by C. Austin Miles in the year 1912. And you can see there the name of the songwriter on 458. C. Austin Miles. Now, that was the year, 1912, in which the Titanic sunk. It was also just a couple of years from that time that this country would be thrown into the First World War. Mr. Miles was a pharmacist by trade, but he happened to have a few hobbies, photography and songwriting being among them. Now, the eye of a photographer is just about always open to detail. I don't know if you've dabbled with that some, or maybe you know of someone who is very much interested in the art of photography. And if you're out with that person, they might always be sizing different aspects up. They'll say, now this over here could make for a good picture, or this over here could also make for a very nice photograph. And when you look here at this particular number, I think that it is apparent that all of this detail is just coming to life. Dew is still on the roses. And so in your mind's eye, you might see tiny beads of water reflecting on the petals, glistening there in the sun. Mr. Miles loved both songwriting and photography. And ironically, the idea for this song came to him while he was in his darkroom developing film. He'd been reading and studying one of his favorite chapters in the Bible, John chapter 20. And while in the dark room, he began to imagine the scene when Mary first saw the resurrected Christ, her Savior. And he placed himself within that scene, and he talks about how he drifted off to sleep there in that dark room and dreamt of that very occasion. And so you have all of this here pictured in quite impressive detail, just like a photographer might seek to capture it. Now, we often do dream what it is that we think about. If a child has a nightmare, it could well be because of the fact that perhaps he was watching what he should not have been watching. Maybe it was a scary movie. My mother always warned me about watching horror movies. Kids being kids will try to sneak in such a picture now and again, especially if mom seems tied up somewhere else. And I can remember one time where I had a dream, a nightmare really, of a fellow with a claw who was chasing me down. And just about that moment where he lunged upon me, that's when I woke up and I was in a bit of a sweat. What is it that we meditate upon? If we can be more spiritually minded, we might have better dreams that will give us more peace. Dreams that will provide us with peace, which passes understanding. Now, when Mr. Miles awoke from his dream, he said that he was gripping his Bible, and his muscles were tensed, and his nerves were tingling from what he had seen there in his mind. And his meditation there about John chapter 20 brought about the lovely song that we have just sung. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses or reveals. That's the very first stanza. Let's go in our Bibles over to John chapter 19. Now, we're going to be primarily in John chapter 20 when talking about this story. That was Mr. Miles' favorite chapter, one of his most favorite chapters. But in the 19th chapter, you have the context about this particular garden, the garden of the tomb, the cemetery that was here. So in John chapter 19, I'm going to begin with the reading in verse 41. John chapter 19, verse 41. The Bible here says, "Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lined with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him, 'Rabboni,' which is to say, 'teacher.' Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her." Question. Why did she come to the tomb here in the very first place?
Well,
one might be inclined to say it's because this is just what we do for our loved ones who have departed. If we have parents who have gone on, or a spouse, or with any family member who is beloved, why, we go there to the gravesite and clean it up so as to make it very presentable. We don't want it to just fall apart. But you have to remember here that it was not so much about making the sepulcher clean as this was about Mary coming to clean up the body of Christ. Over in Mark's Gospel, in Mark chapter 16, there in verse 1, we have the insight into this. It says here in Mark chapter 16, verse 1, "Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?'" And so they were interested very much in the body of the deceased here. They were willing to get dirty and sweaty to clean and anoint the body of Christ. Mary Magdalene truly loved Jesus. She appreciated him oh so much. Even if he never had rose from the grave, she loved him for all that he was, and she wanted to honor his memory. You know, often we can bring our crying and our mourning and lamenting to the Lord, and he can turn that right around into pure, inexpressible joy. I love how the psalmist says this in Psalm 30, verse 5. "Weeping may endure for a night," but how does the rest of that go? "But joy comes in the morning." And we can all identify with that. Where we have been beset by pain that is so deep and so profound that at times we think there's no way through all of this. And yet after some solid rest, we have a better perspective, a sounder head upon our shoulders. I think about Psalm 126, verse 5. "Those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy." It's as though the tears will stream down the cheek and right there into the soil itself, but from the soil will emerge shouts of joy and gladness. For God knows every tear that we cry over the morning, connected with our sin or connected with disappointments that might concern losses to his kingdom. She brought her crying to the tomb and ultimately left elated as she became the very first to literally see the resurrected Lord. How powerful that was. You know, this also impresses me with how women were very dedicated as disciples, very committed to the cause of Christ. Now, that was true back then. It's no less true today, I believe. Everywhere you might go in this world, you're going to notice very often that the churches that you might visit, churches of Christ, are going to be filled out with more women than men. When I was preaching over in Moldova, small little country out there in Eastern Europe, we went to several places. We went to Chișinău. We went to Tiraspol. But I'll never forget going over to Belts. And there you happen to have a small congregation consisting only of women. 10 women that were meeting there. And they were faithfully following through with the instructions of the Lord Jesus Christ for the early church, taking the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. We can look there within the pages of Scripture. You have those such as Phoebe, who was a servant of the Lord to the brethren there at Cenchrea. And also, Paul says that she was a helper of many, myself also. You could think there about Lois and Eunice, Grandma Lois and Mama Eunice, godly women in the life of Timothy. instructing him in the Holy Scriptures. We have three women who are given by name in Luke chapter 8. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna, who from their own means subsidized the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were sacrificial that way. They cared deeply about the work of the Lord. And Mary's great love for Jesus is what prompted her to come to this tomb to honor her teacher so early in the morning. And dear ones, maybe we can make an application right there that early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. Early in the morning, we need to give our praise to the Lord. Psalm 139, verse 18. When I awake, I am still with you. Bring your gifts to Christ, for he is certainly worthy of all of that. Now they happen to do that for one whom they thought was dead. But friends, we serve a risen Savior. Should we give of our time and our resources any less today? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul here, in the last letter that he would pen, with the very last words here that he would share with his son in the faith, he has this to say, 2 Timothy chapter 4, over here in verse 6. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. He was poured out there as a drink offering. The contents of that cup just flowing out. That meant that from his conversion forward, it was all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that this crown is available to everyone who has Christ as their first love. Now let me ask you, would Mary love the appearing of our Lord? She certainly did so there in John chapter 20. She will love his appearing on the last day. Shall we? Well, stanza number 2. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. Now what that describes there, poetically, is the scene there from Mary's eyes. It's as though time is standing still. And all the world is just being drowned out. The birds are no longer heard. You see, because the words of Christ are so beautiful and so precious to her. Now, the sound of his voice is heard in only one way today, and that is through the written word of God. Hebrews chapter 1, there in verse 1. God, who in various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Inspired of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, there verse 12, we read that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God does all of that. And we ought to have our ears peeled. Absolutely, that is so. Needless to say, when you're talking about attention spans, that can be all over the spectrum. Some of us have longer attention spans than others. I might look like I'm pretty focused today, but as I was growing up, that was not necessarily the case. I was a bit of a daydreamer. And the teachers would talk about that. during meetings there with my parents. My mother could tell you about how she had to repeat herself two or three times just to really get something drilled into my head. Now, that's not a badge of honor by any stretch of the imagination for me. Yet, when it comes to the Word of God, we have to provide our undivided attention because man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Christ speaks to us through this written word. How beautiful and powerful it is. Every part, every part. You know, you think there at John chapter 18, that incident where it was that soldiers who were coming to arrest Christ, they actually drew back. They fell down to the ground when they heard Christ say that he was the one. I am he. Who do you seek? Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. And they fall down. We learn about the inherent power with the word of Christ. And if men knew that this was in fact the word of God from heaven above, might they be more inclined to fall prostrate and surrender their lives entirely to the Lord in the fullness of his will? I dare say we would not have any atheists, would we? Mary knew the voice of the Lord, that it was beautiful to hear. You can just sense the jubilation and the excitement pour through her. It doesn't matter what he's going to say. You see, be it exhortation or even rebuke, God's people shall find it beautiful and lovely to the ear. Positive or negative, we're going to find both beautiful. It's all about our attitude. Attitude is everything about our reception of God's word. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. James 1, verse 21. Let it all be a sweet melody within our ears. Stanza number 3 is a reference to verses 17 and 18 within John chapter 20. So let's go ahead and recount that part once more, if we might. Verses 17 and 18 within the 20th chapter of John. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. "I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling." You see, she is told to go and speak all of this here to the disciples. But the emotions, the energy between her and her Savior are so deep that neither welcomes the departing, the voice of woe. But the work is too important, and time is too precious and too short. Now, we too should wish to always be there in the presence of the Lord. So he has to tell her, "Do not cling to me." The idea is, do not cling for very long. She would have done so. Oh, this is what she wanted. Yet she has to go and tell the others of the good news that Jesus is alive. Do we have any less a responsibility today? This is all about the Great Commission, friends. The Lord is alive, and we have work that has to get done. Yes, we can enjoy worship, and in eternity, that's exactly what we shall have. But to get there, we have to also first be working here in this world. In Matthew chapter 28, I believe we have somewhat of a commentary on our reference there in John chapter 20. But in Matthew chapter 28, as you have the other women who are here, and they see the resurrected Christ, the Bible here says in Matthew chapter 28, there in verse 9, And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, Rejoice! So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. More have to be brought into full appreciation of this reality, that Jesus has conquered the grave and dealt a death blow to the devil, Satan, the deceiver of old. Now, people in the world will often see it as a great loss that we are here. Why, it's just a waste of time as far as they would contemplate the use of time. But God's people will always see this as great gain. When we sing this, we sing of a woman who wanted to be with Jesus all day, every day, from dawn till set of sun. It reminds me there of Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. It's great gain to be here. While the dew is still on the roses, very early in the morning, while it's still dark. She also says here, I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. Till dark there too. She does well to glorify and worship the Lord, but she's also encouraged to be evangelistic, for more have to be brought to the feet of Jesus Christ. We're going to bow. We are encouraged to bow now, rather than in eternity when it is too late. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, there verses 10 and 11, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In Revelation chapter 3, with that church there at Philadelphia, Revelation chapter 3, we read here in verse 9, Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. It all will be so blatantly obvious then, for God will rectify every wrong. And I believe that that's an allusion to the words of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60, there in verse 14. Isaiah chapter 60, there in verse 14. You have here this great prophet of God talking about a remarkable time in which the ship shall be righted. It's not going to sink. He says this here in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 14. Also the sons of those who afflicted you shall come bowing to you, and all those who despised you shall fall prostrate at the soles of your feet, and they shall call you the city of the Lord, Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Be on the winning side, even though to the eyes of the world it looks to be filled with losers. In the end, Christ can always make individuals bow when they may have not been inclined to do that at all. The soldiers who fell back at the Garden of Gethsemane, they fell to the ground. It was not really their intention to do all of that. Christ has power to make that happen. But Mary did this willingly, and Christ is seeking others to do it willingly as well. When looking here at this chorus, it's a poetic summary of that garden encounter, beautifully articulated. And he walks with me, and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That speaks to the privileges behind prayer. God speaks to us today through the Bible. And as we pray to him, we talk to him. That is what is granted to saints communion with God, fellowship with God, closeness with Him. That is not given to the Buddhist. That is not given to the Muslim. That is not given to the Hindu or to the atheist. It is not given to the denominational man. But it is given to the true Christian, who is a member of the body of Christ. So let's make sure that we can share in that great privilege and blessing to walk with Him here and also to walk and talk with Him in eternity. How dear and how precious that is. Let's keep our eyes fixed upon the goal. Have your gaze set there and run the race that is set before you, so that you can receive that crown of righteousness. What a grand reward shall be ours. We would hope that if one is not a Christian, they would seek to become one this hour. To have a relationship with Christ, which is priceless. Take advantage of the opportunity during this invitation to respond. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Be faithful till death to have that crown of life. If we can help, come to the front where we stand now and sing.